I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth shall I make it known, from the rising of the sun right until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth shall I make it known, from the rising of the sun right until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth shall
sing
all
the mercies of the Lord
with my mouth.
up one day and worms were eating his skin. And they were eating him while he was yet alive. And one day he lifted up his eyes and he said, although what stares me is the grave, I still know that my Redeemer liveth. He was talking about redemption from those worms. He said, and although these skin worms eat my flesh and they bring me to the grave, I know one thing, that he's going to rise up again for me in the last day. And he says, when he rises up, I will see him in my flesh. And it will not be with the eyes of another, but it will be with my own eyes. In church, we're too quick to figure about the crowd, but we're too quick to lose our individuality. Let me tell you the truth, except you have a personal expectation, your place in the church is irrelevant. Because it is a personal, expectation that delivers God to you. Listen, he says, with my own eyes shall I see. And now the psalmist says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth shall I make it known. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Nobody else is going to tell you. Nobody else is going to testify for you. You ought to have your own testimony. He that overcometh, I will give a white stone, in which is written a name which no man else knoweth, except he that receiveth it. It's a personal operating system God is going to give you. Not even your wife can uncover it. It's a code that is sealed between you and God. And he gave Jacob a name. Jacob lay down at Bethel, and a ladder came from heaven, and angels were ascending and descending, transmitting messages between the Lord, the Ancient of Days, and the Lord Jacob on the ground. It was a dry and a thirsty place. Let me tell you the truth. You have a personal operating system. And that's the inheritance that God has kept for you. In that place, you don't need anybody to help you. So you should be able to figure in the song, with my mouth shall I make it known, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth shall I.
Sing.
That stop you from praising God, they need to be spoken to. And when you say to them, I will sing, you have already set yourself on the war path, and there is no going back. Because when you say, with my mouth shall I make it known, it won't be with anybody's effort, it's with my mouth. Everybody say, with my mouth shall I make it known. Say, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, I, not another, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth shall I performance where a star comes to perform. A concert is a gathering, an effort from various points directed at a singular location to achieve a purpose and an objective. He says, we made a concerted effort to find you. It means that everybody went up and down looking for you, and we all came at different directions. That's the meaning of a concert. The church has not been able to hear the voice of the Lord any longer, because when we come, we have elevated certain people to stardom and we have sat in the shadows. God never intended it to be so. The perfect intention of God was for the throne to be set and for all men to be there. He says, after the fivefold offices have taught the people to do the work of the ministry, then we all, the fivefold plus the people that have been raised, will now do the work of the ministry. I told you yesterday that the church is just about to enter the first phase of its ministry in Jesus. The redemption of the soul is just about to begin. What we call the salvation of the soul. It's not an easy place. It's not preaching and making altar call. Look at the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Not once did they make an altar call. The people heard the message and they were cut to the heart and said, brothers, what shall we do? The Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, see water. There was no indication from that scripture that Philip talked about baptism. They were speaking about Isaiah in 53. He was bruised for our transgressions. Where is the place of baptism there? But the man said, see water. What stops me from being baptized? Philip said, well, if you want stop, they stop. Immediately they finished, the spirit caught up Philip. There is a church that's about to show its face. It's moving in the power of the Holy Ghost. Nothing of a man remains there. These are they which followeth the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, and they love not their lives even unto the death. They were not defiled by women. He's not talking about physical women. He's talking about spirits. Defilement. Spiritual defilement. Says they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. One day a rich young ruler came to Jesus. The Bible calls him a young ruler. Do you know what that means? You think he was a government official? In Israel, your rulership is tied to how much of God you know. So from day one, when a child is born, he is sent to the synagogues. It's like the Muslims, when they give birth to a child, the muezzin comes and he calls prayer in the ears of the child. Allahu Akbar, he calls it into the ears of a newborn baby. So that baby begins to hear it from there. That's why when you want to come against Islam, you must know what you are coming against. That was the way the church ought to be. Congregational service like this is not where you're supposed to receive instruction. Right from your home, every father was supposed to be a proficient teacher of God's word. Moses tell them, whenever they sit to celebrate this Passover, let the head of the family sit at the head of the table and set the feast. When you break the bread, then let the children say, Father, why do we have to eat this kind of bread? Then the father will begin to explain to them the things that God said to Abraham, which were passed on to Isaac, which were passed on to Jacob, who later became Israel, and how he led them to captivity and delivered them according to his word. It was not the pastor that taught. When we come together in the congregation, we come to bring the presence. Ah, that word again. So when a child graduates from synagogue, that child is called a man. In Israel, Jesus was already a man at 12. Because he answered all the questions of the chief scribes, and he asked them questions which they had no answer to. From that point, he had celebrated his bar mitzvah. His mother and no woman could look upon his nakedness. He was a man. So when they say the rich young ruler, that tells you that he qualified while he was still young. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? He qualified early. He was a ruler amongst God's people. And he did that very early. Then you also understand Paul's credentials. You also understand his boast. He says, amongst my people, I was at the top. And concerning our faith, I belonged to the most zealous sect, the Pharisee sect. This was a rich young ruler. He was rich in the things of God. He was young and he was a ruler in the house of the Lord. Then he came to Jesus. He says, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit the kingdom? Jesus said, why do you call me good? Go and keep the law. What does it say? Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long on the face of the earth. All of you that are looking for long life, you don't need anybody laying hands on you. The secret to long life on the earth is honor your father and your mother. He didn't say worship them. He said do what?
Honor them.
You don't need hands laid on you or oil poured on you. And the rich young ruler said, I have kept it since I was a child. And Jesus is God, remember? Mark says, and Jesus looked at him and he loved him. Because he had told the truth. Jesus could have operated the gift of word of knowledge there and revealed what the guy did the previous day that broke the law. But Jesus knew this guy had done well by keeping the law. Do you think it's everybody that is morally decadent? There are unbelievers that are morally sound. Someone was traveling out of Murtala Mohammed Airport. And it was said that as an expatriate, he was carrying so much money. And the Nigerian immigration officials wouldn't let him. So he had to keep back some of the money and he ran to one of these malams that sell and buy currency. And he said to him, can you keep this for me? I'm returning from Germany in a few weeks. That one said, this is my name. Any day you come, your money will be here. And he went and boarded and took off. When he returned, he went there. The man was not there. He said to them, I kept some money here. I was also passing. They brought it in the same leather bag, the way it was tied. There are unbelievers who have only one wife, even though their religion allows them to have four. And they have no concubine, and they are not intended on doing that. I'm saying there are dogs who are disciplined. Because he called the Syrophoenician woman a dog. And then when she finished talking, he said, I have not seen such faith, even amongst the sons. And Jesus said, this one thing you have not done, sir. Go, sell all that you have. Give to the poor. Have treasure. Where? Then come and say follow. Say follow. Say follow. This guy was rich, young, and a ruler in the synagogue. But he had no treasure in heaven. You can be rich, young, and a ruler in church and not be known in heaven. It's a fearful thing. Because we have the erroneous impression that the more busy we are for Jesus, the more certain we are that we will sit in a favorable place in his throne. My friend, open your eyes and see, even natural things teach about the spiritual. Jehovah's Witness, nobody does evangelism like that. Their church is not growing. If it was according to activity, say Jehovah's, will they be building those small temples? They should be filling stadia. Because every day they knock every door. They are a pest to everybody. And if you're a Jehovah's Witness here, I don't mean it insultingly. But truth is one. When you collide with it, it might hurt. But please don't fight with it. Evangelism is not knocking everybody's door. Evangelism is not running helter-skelter. Evangelism is being led by the Holy Ghost. Until your life bears fruit, you are not permitted to represent him. Peter, all of you, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, then you can become witnesses for me. You don't represent him outside his spirit. Do you know you can die in church on this stage and find yourself in hell? That is why the religions of the world make a mess of it. When a person is about to die, they come and administer last rites. Omnis dictum sanctus. You just go into the holes and they bury you. The rich young ruler did not understand what it was like. Because every day he listened to Jesus, he knew there was a kingdom where his name ought to be registered in. And he knew that there was this nagging fear. I'm not there yet. That centurion saw that kingdom. He said, Master, you don't have to follow me home. I've watched you. I'm a man under authority. And I have people under me. When I say come, they must come. And I have watched you. Every time you talk, there is an unseen hand that moves to perfect that which you spoke about. So you don't have to follow me. Just speak the word. Your guys are waiting to obey you. But Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, said, follow me home. Lay hands on my daughter and she shall be healed. I see an evil under the sun. Princes walking on earth, the earth, and their servants riding upon a horse. I will follow. I will follow you. I will follow you from now till the end of time. I will follow. I will follow you. I will follow you from now till the end of time. Sing it with me.
I will follow. I will follow you. I will follow you from now till the end of time.
Sing it with me, yeah.
That's where you are led to. That's what's called sonship. Children think of only today. Only sons think about posterity. They think about leaving a work that is lasting. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, and the Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father. Everything he does is after the order of the Everlasting. It will last and last and last. There is no abortion in him. There is no decay in him. Death cannot be figured in him. He is life. And all who are in him share the same portion and heritage. From tonight, I open up a door for you to step into the Everlasting Father. That's what's called everlasting life. To start a thing under God. In one night, Aaron's rod budded. It blows on bore fruit and flowers. In one night. In one night. His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. And he's in you. You have no right to abort anything. First of all, you must enter into that life. Then you know that which is relevant there. That is what is called treasure in heaven. What is treasure in heaven? The rich young ruler couldn't follow because of that. And Peter too made the same mistake. Jesus had told him what his life and ministry was going to be like. And it looked to Peter like Jesus was making him the head boy. So Peter turned around and he saw the disciple that Jesus loved coming. And that disciple that Jesus loved is John. He had been a problem to all of them. Because you must not forget that they were jostling for position. They were not following Jesus because they believed in him or they wanted the kingdom of heaven. They wanted him to make some of them governor in Jerusalem. Another one governor in Dan. And the other one in Beersheba. They were thinking of a political kingdom. They wanted to enrich their pockets. They were no different from you and I. We're in church primarily because we want God to advance us in life. And as ministers, most of the time it actually hits us the most. Because when you are in church and you are a pastor and your friend is a bank manager, you feel you have to prove to your friend that you are not failing. So you are struggling to drive the kind of car a bank manager drives. So when you go home, you can say, well, although I'm in ministry, I mean, I'm not failing. No, Jesus told me early in life, I didn't call you to be the richest man. What I have given to you is the Holy Ghost. Before, if you come to my house, every problem you bring, I want to sow into it. I ran into debts and debts and debts. And then the Lord told me, I didn't send you to give money. Let the people know that there's something upon your life. So I stopped attending tribal meetings. I stopped attending unnecessary associations. Because I am set aside, consecrated, anointed. Somebody says, come for the village meeting. I say, do you know what's on my head? One day the village will need me if I start coming to you now, sowing seed into your end of year nonsense. You will not hear me when the time comes. I'm not a citizen of the earth. I'm a citizen of heaven. I follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Following is the exclusive preserve of sons. Children don't venture there. Whenever the rubber hits the road, children mess up big time. A little hunger and they miss it. A little stress and they are gone. A little pressure, they can't pay their house rent and that's all, their joy is gone. That's children. But Jesus walked the earth destitute. He said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Who has ever been to Jerusalem and seen the house Jesus lived in? Even ancient Bethlehem is totally wiped out. He was caught in a garden. And in case you think they just went there to pray, some of them were asleep. Because a young man was caught with a wrapper. When they pulled the wrapper, he ran away naked. Perhaps it was hot and he covered himself with a wrapper to sleep. Jesus was not rich in terms of how much he had in the account. He was rich in that God was sufficient unto him. Per time he had what he needed. You know, the abomination of our generation is we don't know what to do with money. That is the controversy that God has with our generation. We believe he's going to convert the strength and the power of the Gentiles unto us. All of us are looking for money. In one night, sir, he converted the money of the Egyptians and he gave it to the Jew. And he led them out with a strong arm. Yes, what did they use the money for 40 years? Did he ever ask them to buy food? Did he ever ask them to buy clothes? He gave them silver and gold so they will know that his kingdom is not in silver, not in gold. Their dresses did not wax old. They grew with them in the wilderness. I have a controversy with my people. I have a controversy with Jerusalem and Judah. They have substituted gold and put brass in its place. And every man bows to the idols that their hands have made. They are full of Eastern ways. But I prophesy to you, a day is come, and even now is that day, when darkness will cover the earth and thick darkness the people, and the haughtiness of men's hearts will be humbled, and their lofty looks will be subdued, but the Lord alone will be exalted. Hallelujah. You better make yourself in line with him now before it gets too late. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, oh Lord. Blessed be your name, oh Lord. Blessed be the one who reigns forevermore. Blessed be your name.
Forever.
Blessed be your name.
Hallelujah.
You have done us great honor, my master, that you have chosen us to be able to bless you. Who can add to you? And none can subtract from you. You are past finding out. You are the same forever and ever. You have no beginning of days and no ending of days. There is none like you, none before you, none after you. Who can tell your beginnings and who can tell your end? But you have chosen the sons of men that they can lift up a praise and bless you. We truly are honored tonight. The pavement upon which you have kept us is too precious. Such knowledge is too high for me. It's too wonderful for me. No wonder the angels ask, what is man that you are mindful of him? Nor the son of man that you visitest him? You have made us a little lower than even the angels. And yet we see you crowned Jesus with honor and glory, thereby having consecrated and kept for us an inheritance and a portion, priceless and precious. We truly bless you tonight. And we say to our souls, bless the Lord. And all that is in us, bless his holy name. He deserves nothing less. And Lord, we are not too quick to offer the sacrifice of fools. We have taught our systems to respond to you. Because that's the greatest gift we can give you. A prepared blessing. A prepared worship. A prepared praise. A sacrifice that is properly prepared. You are too precious to be given anything less. Thank you, Majesty. Thank you.
El Elyon, God Most High, you are Jesus Christ, you are El Elohim Israel. El Elyon, God Most High.
worship him. Shibola tamote amu. Lembro da baki nuna bato shula bana. Ambro da ina koto sude belango. Om bale da biko shule bale da kene nuna bato musabala. Lembro da nuna dika nuna bato musule bana. Lembro da nuna da kene nuna bato musabala. Nangolo di kipo nuna bato shule bana. Oh, we give you praise and we bless your holy name. Oh, lati tu banana na kutusa.
Come to church and they think they must worship God according to a pattern that they have already seen and known. Don't you know that Paul wrote and he said, let us speak to one another in hymns and in psalms and in a spiritual song. I always tell people, I said, I always wanted to know what the spiritual song was, and there was no dictionary definition that satisfied me, but the Holy Ghost quickened it into me and I understood. Every time my mother had a disagreement with my father and she didn't want the children to know, she would always find a chore to do in the house, perhaps washing dishes or sweeping the house. And she will be weeping there and she will be moaning a song which has no head or tail. And she just wanted to hide her tears from us. And the Lord reminded me, using that to point out to me the spiritual song. A song that you cannot put to human language, but it's a birthing of the spirit. There are things, my friend, that you don't understand. Even the silence speaks. When you go, it's like a thunder that is locked up on your inside. Haven't you ever carried a burden that you can't explain to anybody? It's still a And then after some time, you have to go, oh, it's become a little too much. You can't shut it up. And then after some time, you go, it's yay, you are crying for help. But when God answers you, he gives you a brand new song. You go, ha, ha, ha. There is a language, my friend, in the spirit. There is an aroma of the spirit that we must carry. What was the aroma that they carried when they came out of Egypt? Why did the Red Sea flee from before them? Why were they able to find a dry road to pass in? The footprints of Moses and all the sons of Israel are still there in the Red Sea. If you can open it up, the Red Sea will show you in its belly where they put their steps. That's the place I want to walk in. Lord, show me the place where Moses walked. Let me plant my feet in his footsteps. Let me walk the walk of Moses in that night when they crossed the Red Sea. Let me see the very place where you smashed Pharaoh to pieces. It's an impossible place. We sing songs of Zion. By the rivers of Babylon, Israel made a mistake. Where we sat down, there we wept when we remembered Zion. And the wicked required of us a song. But how? That was the error of Israel in Babylon. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Where else should you sing the Lord's song? God has come to deliver his people from captivity. The song of the Spirit. Mutterings that cannot be interpreted. But it's the Holy Ghost quickening them into us.